From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, The Contents and Consequences of Paul's Sermon at Antioch in Pisidia, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 39 and verse 12. I am a stranger with thee. Yes, O Lord, with thee, but not to thee. All my natural alienation from thee, thy grace has effectually removed. And now, in fellowship with thyself, I walk through this sinful world as a pilgrim in a foreign country. Thou art a stranger in thine own world. Man forgets thee, dishonors thee, sets up new laws and alien customs, and knows thee not. When thy own dear son came unto his own received him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Never was foreigner so speckled a bird among the denizens of any land, as thy beloved son among his mother's brethren. It is no marvel, then, if I, who live the life of Jesus, should be unknown and a stranger here below. Lord, I would not be a citizen where Jesus was an alien. His pierced hand has loosened the cords which once bound my soul to earth, and now I find myself a stranger in the land. My speech seems to these Babylonians among whom I dwell an outlandish tongue. My manners are singular, and my actions are strange. A Tartar would be more at home in Cheapside than I could ever be in the haunts of sinners. But here is the sweetness of my lot. I am a stranger with thee. Thou art my fellow sufferer, my fellow pilgrim. Oh, what a joy to wander in such blessed society! My heart burns within me by the way when thou dost speak to me. And though I be a sojourner, I am far more blessed than those who sit on thrones, and far more at home than those who dwell in their sealed houses. To me remains nor place nor time. My country is in every clime. I can be calm and free from care on any shore, since God is there. While place we seek or place we shun, the soul finds happiness in none. But with a God to guide our way, 'tis equal joy to go or stay.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. During their first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas traveled to a number of cities in Asia Minor, but their visit to Antioch in Pisidia was of special importance. Having brought the gospel to the Jews there, as was his usual practice, Paul was invited by some of the Gentiles to preach to them as well. That decision so angered the Jews that they rejected the gospel and turned against Paul, and this became a turning point in Paul's ministry, as he declared his conviction that from that day God wanted the focus of his preaching to be to the Gentile nations. The passage in Acts 13 contains one of the longest of Paul's recorded sermons. It consisted of two main themes, the word of salvation sent and a warning against the rejection of the gospel. As such, this sermon provides the model for New Testament preaching. As a result of Paul's message, there were many consequences. Souls were saved, the enemies opposed the gospel, the good news of salvation was spread abroad, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message called The Contents and the Consequences of Paul's Sermon.
The contents fall into two parts. Taking Paul's own words, we have at the end of verse 26, "To you is the word of salvation sent." So the contents of the sermon, first and foremost, deal with the word of salvation sent. And then you will notice a little later on, the second part of the contents, verse 40, 41, "Beware, therefore." Now comes the application. "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish," etc. So here is the warning against salvation scorned. He starts off giving the word of salvation. That's the doctrine. And then he gives a warning about scorning this salvation. And that is the application of the doctrine. That's the content, very quickly, of the sermon. Time doesn't permit us to go into the consequences. But ultimately, we're going to find that all preaching will give these consequences if it's apostolic preaching and given in the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 43, there'll be the salvation of souls. Many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. Now, some people have wondered, were they saved? Well, I think you'll find they were saved, because we find later on, verse 52, the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost, so Paul and Barnabas left disciples behind them. So these people got saved. The salvation of souls was the first effect of the preaching of the word. And just a word here to notice what Paul and Barnabas persuaded them to do. They persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, you'll have gathered, no doubt, as you've attended these services, that this church stands on the old principles of the Protestant Reformed faith. That we preach the old doctrines of sovereign grace. But there are some who call themselves Calvinists and this and that and the other thing. They believe in the Reformed theology, which really believe in a deformed theology. And they say because we believe in divine sovereignty, we don't believe in pleading and persuading with souls. Well, they would need to go back to their Bible. No one more than John Calvin ever pleaded with souls. It was Calvin who went door to door, knocking on men's doors, pleading with them, pleading that they would be saved. It was Paul who said, I could wish that I could go to hell if it would save sinners. Let me tell you, those who believe in divine sovereignty should believe in pleading with souls. They ought to have a passion for souls. In his commentary in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Paisley, on Romans chapter 9, has a very good and very powerful point when he makes the point that divine sovereignty, belief in predestination, is no barrier to a passion for souls. The two things ought to go together. So here Paul and Barnabas are persuading, they're pleading. What are they pleading with them to do? To continue in the grace of God. That is, do not go back to the law as a means of justification. Do not go back to the law as a ground of obtaining merit or favor or standing with God. Realize that all you have is in Christ. Continue in the grace of God. You know, if there's one thing needs to be preached to Christians today, that's it. That's it. Because nowadays, the thought is we're justified by faith and we're sanctified by works. No such thing. We're justified by faith and everything else by faith. Having begun in the Spirit, are we going to be made perfect in the flesh? Having begun by grace, are we going to do something else by works? No, sir. It's only when God's people recognize that all we have is in Christ. All we can ever have, all we can ever be, is in Christ. It's only when they realize that, and that grace is the foundation of every provision of God for His people, and every experience of the people of God. It's only when they realize that, that they'll have victory over sin, and they'll know what it is to live to the full what Jesus Christ has purchased for them by God's sovereign grace. Continue in the grace of God. Get back to the cross. I remember as a young fella, I can't remember all that was preached, but I remember as a very young boy, I heard the Reverend Bert Cook, who many of you heard preach in this church, preach a series of messages. As I say, so many years ago now that I can't remember all the substance, but I well remember the themes. And they were ingrained in my heart. The cross, the believer, and justification. See how it's all tied in to the cross. The cross, the believer, and sanctification. The cross, the believer, and adoption. The cross, the believer, and glorification. Everything is in Christ and through His precious blood. It's by grace that you're saved in all the fullness of that meaning. Continue in the grace of God. That's what he's saying. And then there's the envy of the enemy. When you start preaching, you'll get the devil mad. You'll notice a sad thing here. In verse 50, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Sometimes it's the devout and honorable people that will be against you. Sometimes, I'll go even further, sometimes it will be Christians who will be against you. They don't understand the preaching and they go mad against it. Cuts across some cherished notions. So therefore, they oppose. There's the envy of the enemy here. Beware lest the devil would use you as he would use these devout and honorable women to withstand the gospel. And then there was the judgment of the Jews. In verse 46, Paul says, "Ye put it from you, and you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life." Self-condemned to hell. Then you will notice the gospel for the Gentiles, verse 46 through to verse 48. The Gentiles got the word, and there's a lovely statement in verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. My, they were glad to hear the gospel. Isn't it a tragedy that people nowadays treat the gospel of God's grace as a mere nothing? Isn't it tragedy that even Christians have lost the joy of the gospel? You know, when God's people lose that vibrant joy of the gospel, you'll find that their witness and their preaching will not communicate any gladness to the unsaved. Oh, to get back to that living joy in Christ, that when we preach and witness the Gentiles, the unsaved will be glad. And then verse 48, there is the thought of sovereignty in salvation. Now there's a whole book of theology to be written in this, never mind a short sermon, but I want you to watch it. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. People are always asking, can you reconcile eternal election, foreordination, predestination? Can you reconcile that with man's free agency and with man's act in believing? C.H. Spurgeon once said, "I don't try to reconcile friends." And that's a very good answer. There's no enmity here between the things. God sees no discrepancy, so why should I? All who were ordained believe. You know, that gives me some comfort in the preaching of the gospel. We're living in a day when people are telling us, well, you can't expect much. Can't expect much. These are the last days. The apostasy's getting bigger. And all you've got to do is just sit down and keep your head low and miss the missiles of the devil that are being hurled at you. Don't expect too much. My friend, let me tell you, I'm expecting everything that God has ordained. God's on the throne. He is the God who reigns. And they're not but one of God's people in hell. He's going to save them. Let the devil's crowd do what they wish. Let all the thunderbolts of hell be loosed against the preaching of the gospel. This gospel must be preached, Jesus said, to the ends of the earth. And it's going to be successful in its preaching. God's going to bring his people in. There'll be no empty places in heaven. There'll be no places at the table spread for the marriage supper of the Lamb with nobody there. Thank God, he has a plan, a purpose, and he will succeed. It's as simple as that. They will believe. Gives me comfort also because, you know, when I think of the unsaved hearts, whosoever will may come. Trouble is that people don't will to come. Everyone who believes will be saved. I can go to any place, face any crowd, and I can say to any man, if you will come to Christ, you'll be saved. If you will believe, you will be instantaneously converted, justified, saved for all eternity. It's a great depression in the mind when you preach and you realize that souls are so inveterate in their hatred against God that short of a miracle, they never will believe. Short of a miracle, they never will come. You think of yourself before you were saved. Did you want to come? or did it take a miracle of God to bring you? Did you come out of your own depraved heart, or did it take a miracle of grace to bring you? Oh, it took a miracle of grace to bring you, all right. Look at sinners, even in this meeting this morning. God gives them the way they want to, lets them go the way they want to go. They'll go to hell. If God says to you who are unsaved, right, you can have your will and you can have your way. Man, it's a tragedy for you, for you'll perish. I'm glad that he's sovereign. I'm glad that there is a power superior to the depraved will of man. I'm glad that the wind blows where it lists. Men hear the sound of it. They can't tell whence it come or whither it goeth. They can't gather the wind in their fists and direct it the way they would have it go. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God, without doing violence to the constitutional nature of man, will yet come, infuse new life, and give the gift of saving faith. Oh, thank God, all we read, as many as were ordained to eternal life, believe. There's sovereignty and salvation. Verse 49, there's the thought of the witness of the word. The word of the Lord was published. And people get saved and start publishing the word. That's how revival starts. And the Christians in this church start getting out into the community. When they start going after souls in the place where they work, in the place where they live, in the place where they have influence. When the Christians start going out gossiping the gospel. When they start getting the fire. When Christians stop playing and start praying. Stop wasting time and start working for God. When Christians get the joy of the Lord and they start preaching Christ. Then the word of the Lord will be published throughout all the region. Why isn't it? Isn't it a tremendous privilege and work that the Lord has led before us? This church can fill this region with the gospel. Now there are many other churches, and they can do the same thing. There are enough churches in Greenville to get the gospel to every sinner in South Carolina, nay, every sinner in America. There are enough churches in this one little city to do a mighty work for God. Oh, let God's people go to the job. Let the people of God here go to the job. Witness to the word. And then finally, verse 52, there's the thought of the delight of the disciples. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. With the Holy Ghost, that's the fullness of the Spirit. Oh, may God grant us today this delight in the Lord. This overwhelming joy in Christ. May the Lord truly use us as Spirit-filled people who will do His work, spread His word, and see His name glorified. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the gospel of free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Thou art the God who reigns. We thank Thee that Thou art the God of redemption. Lord, we believe that Thou didst raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank You, Lord, for a risen Savior. We bless Thee for sovereign grace. Thank You, Lord, that Thou hast reached many in this meeting with grace. Grace that saves. Oh, we pray in Jesus' name, that Thou wilt bless Thy people. Give us the fruit and fullness of the Spirit, we pray. Enable us, Lord, to spend time daily, yea, Lord, to live every moment in the light of Calvary. And oh, we pray that Thou wilt graciously lead us into the experience of all that is ours in Jesus Christ. Remember those who are not saved. Lord, only Thou canst break hardened hearts, but we thank Thee that Thou art able to do it. Only Thou, Lord, art able to lead them out of Egyptian bondage, but thank God Thou art able to do it. Lord, only Thou canst give them a will to be saved. Oh, grant it to them, we pray. God forbid that they should fulfill this awful warning of despising the Word and be self-condemned to everlasting death. Lord, save souls, we pray. Part us now with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought people. Lord, keep us faithful to Thee until the Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all His glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.